My name is Chad Roberts, and I want to welcome you to Awakened to Grace. Today is part three of a sermon entitled Worldliness as Unbelief. We've been talking about the coming of Christ. We've been talking about what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 concerning worldliness and the coming of Christ. Well, this is a series called Battling Unbelief, and this is part three of the sermon, Worldliness as Unbelief. If you've never downloaded our free mobile app, I want to encourage you to go back, download Awakened to Grace from your Apple Store or your Google Play, and catch up on the previous sermons in this series called Battling Unbelief. I'm glad you're joining us today. All of that period of world history, God's clock was silent. But do you know what happened on May 14th, 1948? In our lifetime, Israel became a nation. Do you know what the ramifications of that is, church? That means that the hands of God's prophetic clock began to tick. That means Scripture is literally unfolding before our eyes. Hallelujah. God's clock is ticking right now, today. And right now, there is nothing hindering the coming of Christ. Now, you know, in the church world, there's a great debate of when Christ will come, if it is before the rapture, or before the tribulation, in the middle of the tribulation, after the tribulation. I can tell, you know, I can tell a lot of families come to our church unchurched, and we're really their first real church, and I love that. And a lot of times, I mean, you know, their questions are like, you know, what's communion, and, you know, where are the bathrooms, and, you know, it's great. But I can usually tell when someone comes from a church background, because a lot of times this is a question I get asked a lot, and I kind of chuckle when people ask me this. They go, Pastor Chad, are you a pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib? Some of you are like, what? I have no idea what you're talking about. You a pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib? What they're asking is, do I believe that Christ is going to come back before the tribulation, in the middle of the tribulation, or after the tribulation? A pre, mid, or post? And you know what? I just laugh. And you know what I tell people? I'm a pan trib. A pan trib. I believe everything's going to pan out exactly how God wants it all to pan out, right? Now, I'm not dogmatic on it, but let me just, again, can I teach for what time? Tell me, somebody tell me what time it is. Well, amen. I'll take it. I'll take it. Amen. I have no idea what time it is. Okay. I lean immensely heavy toward pre-trib. And let me explain to you why. When I say the word rapture, what comes to your mind? Now, again, I realize, brothers, sisters, some of you have not been in strong churches in the past, and some of you don't have any teaching in this, and that's okay. Don't feel bad. Don't feel any less. But I want to teach you right now, because these are things you need to know. If we're going to live like people who are listening for the trumpet, we need to know these things. So if you'll allow me, let me just do a little teaching right here. So there are people who, you know, when it comes to the church world, you got camps, and you got people who believe this and they don't believe that, and they argue and they debate and all this and that. So you got people who don't believe in a rapture. They only believe in the second coming. I personally believe in both. I believe that there is a rapture of the church, and I believe there is a second coming of Jesus. And let me explain the difference. What the Bible teaches, and people who don't believe in a rapture, this is what they'll say. Well, the word rapture is not in the church, in the Bible. Well, the word Bible is not in the Bible, but we still believe it. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. But the teaching is there. The doctrine is there. The word rapture, just because our English word rapture is not in the Bible, doesn't mean the teaching is not there. In our text, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I think maybe verse 16, it says, we who are alive and remain, when Christ comes, we who are alive and remain, will be caught up in the clouds. We'll be caught up with him. That word caught up means rapture. Now, why do I believe that's different than the coming of the Lord? Now, in other places in the New Testament, when it says the day of the Lord or the coming of the Lord, that's referring to what we call his second coming. His first coming was he came as a baby, virgin born. He came to die. His second coming, he's going to physically come to the earth and he's going to reign and he's going to rule forever. Now, this is the difference. In the rapture, he comes in the clouds. Remember what we said? How did he ascend to the Father? In the clouds. In a like manner, he's going to come again. But he doesn't physically touch the earth. Rather than physically coming to the earth, we go to be with him. The Bible says that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed. We'll be gone. We will go from this mortal body. And listen, when that day comes, that Christ comes, we who are alive and remain, if it is our generation, we will not taste death. And we'll be the first generation ever to not taste death, because in a moment we'll be translated into the clouds with the coming of the Lord like that. Amen. That's what the scripture teaches. Now, why is that different than the second coming? Because in the second coming, Christ physically, literally touches down on earth, not to go back. He's going to stay. Now, what's interesting, this summer, Lord willing, we're going to do a study on the seven churches of Revelation. It's going to be fascinating. Fascinating. I'm already prepping for it, and it's not till June and July. But here's what's fascinating. When you read the book of Revelation, now listen to this. The first three chapters are all about the church. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 is all about the church of Jesus Christ. And what I'm going to prove to you in the Bible is the seven churches of Revelation, not only were they literal physical congregations in Asia Minor, they also represent church history. We can go back and look. So, for example, the church of Ephesus, we can show, we can prove with history how that was the first century church. The church of Smyrna, Jesus said, you're going to have 10 days of persecution. That was the Roman Empire. Do you realize that there were literally 10 waves of persecution? The church of Philadelphia, the Bible says that God was going to set them before an open door that no man could open and no man could close. It was going to be an open door. And you know what happened in the 1700s? World missions exploded in the 1700s and 1800s. That was the church of Philadelphia. And you know what he says about the last church, Laodicea? It's not good. The church would be wealthy, the church would be lazy, and the church would have need of nothing, but yet we're poor, naked, and wretched in the eyes of God. Is that not the church of today? Now, here's what's interesting. After Revelation chapter 3, the church is never mentioned again on the earth. Chapters 4, chapter 5, it's all about the throne of God. We'll all be around the throne of God. People from every kindred, from every nation, from every tribe, from every tongue. All those beautiful people groups, we're all going to be around the throne of God. But then chapter 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and so on is all about the tribulation period. And do you know where the church is during the tribulation period? We're in heaven. Why? Because the trumpet at that point had already sounded. The dead in Christ has already rose first. We who were alive and remain, we've already been called up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with him. Amen. And then at the end of all of that, the last the final great rebellion of Satan and mankind against God Almighty will be the Battle of Armageddon. And that's when the second coming of Jesus truly is. And do you know who will come with him? The blood-bought church. Amen? So what's the difference between the rapture and the second coming? The difference is Christ comes in the clouds in the rapture and we go to be with him. What's the difference in the second coming? He's going to physically touch down on earth and we're going to be with him. That's the difference. Why do I lean toward, this is where I'll begin to finish today. Why do I lean toward a pre-tribulation rapture? Let me just explain this and then I'll close for today. If my view of the Bible was that I believe Jesus was going to come in the mid part of the tribulation, that would mean that we would have to see a peace treaty signed between the Antichrist and Israel. We would see the mark of the beast come up on the scene and have to choose if you're going to accept that or not. There's so many things that we would have to see happen. The temple being built in Jerusalem. The Antichrist desolating the temple, as the book of Daniel teaches. If I believed that Christ was not going to come until the end of the tribulation and that we would have to endure to the end in order to be saved, and we would have to go through all 7 years of the tribulation, that means we would have to see every seal judgment, every bowl judgment. That means that we would have to see the witnesses in Jerusalem murdered and then rise again. By the way, I was listening to the news this week. Think about this for just a moment. The Bible says that when the two witnesses are killed in Jerusalem and when they rise from the dead and they rise again, the Bible says that every eye on the earth will see it. Friends, how could that have happened 100 years ago? How could that have even happened 50 years ago that every eye on the earth would see it? How would that have been possible? You know what they're getting ready to do right now? They said it in a news conference last week. They're getting ready to launch, listen to this, 10,000 satellites to orbit the earth, and they're creating what they called a web of satellites for instant information so that the most remote parts of the earth will have the internet. I got goosebumps when I heard that. Because you know what's going to happen when those two witnesses fulfill the word of God? Every eye is going to have a cell phone and they're going to watch it. Amen? Friends, we're living where the Bible's unfolding before our very eyes. So, if I believed that all of these things had to happen, here is my question to my brothers and sisters who believe that. Where is the imminence of Christ's return? Where is the urgency? Where is the readiness? See, what the Bible teaches over and over and over and over about the coming of Christ is that he'll come in an hour that you think not. He'll come as a thief in the night. Have your oil ready, have your lamps trimmed, because the Son of God is coming quickly. Well, friends, if we had to see the Antichrist come on the scene, the mark of the beast and Armageddon and all this stuff, then where is the urgency, where's the imminence that Christ could return at any moment? For that primary reason, I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture of the church. I believe that Christ could come at any second. Amen? And that's why I live prepared. That's why I live ready. That's why if there's sin in my heart, I want to rid out of it, because Christ could come at any moment. Is there worldliness in you today? Is there immorality in you today? Are you messing with sin, allowing sin, harboring sin? My friends, I cannot warn you and I cannot urge you strong enough. As the book of James says, the judge is at the door and he's about to enter. Have your life right. Have your life holy. Wash your robes in the blood of the Lamb, because that trumpet is about to sound and I wouldn't miss it for the world. Let's bow our heads. I don't know where you are in your life. But are you ready? Are you ready? You say, Chad, Christ may not come back for another 1,000 years. That's very true. But that still don't change the fact your life, my life, is as a vapor. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. Christ may not come back for decades or centuries or even millennia. But what the Bible teaches is that nothing's prohibiting him from coming today. Are you ready? If you're not ready, I want to invite you to this altar today. If there's unforgiveness in your life, you're not ready for the rapture. If there's bitterness in your heart, you're not ready for the rapture. If there's sin of any kind, unchecked sin of any kind, you're not ready. I want to invite you to slip out of your seat today, kneel or stand or sit at this altar and say, Jesus, make me ready. I'm coming today to wash my robes in the blood of the Lamb. I'm coming today so that when I walk out of this building, I'll be without spot. I'll be without wrinkle. You say, Chad, what will people think of me? I don't know. They got their own mess to worry about. They got their own sin. You don't worry about that. Listen, it's a full-time job to keep myself where I need to be. I'm not worried about what you're praying about. I'm worried about my soul. I'm concerned about me. So you come right now. If you're not ready, you come get ready. We have people who will pray with you. Deacons, deacons' wives, you be ready. And you just slip out of your seat right now and you come and you kneel before the Lord. You sit on the stage. You stand if you need to stand. And you say, God, today I wash my robes in the blood of the Lamb. Today I want to be without spot. I want to be without wrinkle. And I want to be ready for the coming of the Lord. I want to be ready. And today, Lord, I make myself ready. I'm going to walk out of this building listening for the trumpet. And I'm going to live a ready life from here on out. You pray as God directs you. Father, I don't want to be arrogant and pretend like we understand everything about prophecy. Oh God, we certainly don't. We certainly don't. We don't understand everything. Like Paul said, we see through a glass dimly. But what we do understand, Lord, we believe you're coming quickly. As some are praying, one thing I forgot, and I want to share this, and if you need to come pray, you just slip out and come. I told you that when Jesus told his followers in Matthew 24 that only the Father knows when these things will be, even the Son of Man doesn't know. I told you I believe that changed, and I'd prove it to you. Well, it was his followers who asked Jesus that. And you know who the last disciple of Jesus was? The very last one that was the last before they died. John the Beloved. John who wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. Everyone else died a martyr's death. But John died of natural causes. And as an old man, God shared with him the book of Revelation. And you know how Revelation begins out? Jesus answers the question from his disciples from Matthew 24. And he tells John the Beloved, the final remaining disciple, Jesus said, write these things down, the things that must soon take place. See, I believe once Jesus ascended to the Father, he then knew all of the plan, all of it. And I think Christ knows the very moment he's going to return. And he shared the book of Revelation with us. And it's such a sweet book. For the lost, it's a scary book. But for the saved, it's a sweet book. So, Father, we obey your command today. We encourage one another with these words. We'll avoid sexual immorality, for you are an avenger of these things. We'll wash our robes in the blood of the Lamb. We'll prepare our lives for the coming of Jesus. We'll hope in your coming and thus purify ourselves in the process. And God, we long for your coming. May we receive that crown because we lived like your coming. In Jesus' name. Lord, it's our heart's prayer. The very last words of Jesus recorded in the Bible, the very last words, behold, I come quickly. And Father, it's our prayer today. Even so, come quickly, Lord. Even so, come quickly. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We rid ourselves of worldliness. We turn our backs on sin. We renounce it. We renounce sexual immorality. And God, we want to be a pure people. A holy people, a righteous people, a blood-bought people. We are the people of God. And I thank you right now, Jesus, that when you return, when you come back, you're coming for one thing, for one thing, for one thing you're coming for. One thing, the people of God. Thank you that we're among your people. It is the privilege of our lives. Thank you that we're your people. We're your people. We are the people of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, in closing, help us to be a church that we get this gospel out every way that we can. Apps, websites, videos, radio, every way that we possibly can. Bibles, Urdu Bibles for Pakistan. Bible translation work through the Wycliffe Bible translators. God, every way possible, every way possible. Every way possible.
If you enjoyed today's broadcast and would like to hear more great content, you can always download our free mobile app, Awaken to Grace, where you can request prayer, find sermons, articles, blogs, music, podcast, as well as support us financially. You can also visit either of our websites at www.preachingchristchurch.com or www.awakentograce.com for more information about our church or our resource ministry. Thank you for listening to Awaken to Grace.